But you probably have a lot of ambassadors.
Yes, we have.
We're going to get into that. Let me just start the episode. Welcome to podcast number 34 of our podcast Up on Foil, where we talk all about foiling. Today with Jan Dalibor. He's the founder or co-founder of, and now you have to help me, Soros? How do you pronounce it?
Soros.
Soros.
Yeah, exactly. Soros.
Thank
Perfect.
you very much. So maybe we can just start with the name. How do you come up with the name? Does it have a meaning?
No, there is no real meaning. It's more like design and contraction and the idea from the roots, and Santa Cruz and different ID, and but much more design with S, Z, the O with trema, etc., etc., with
All
dirty.
right, very cool. That was like my first difficulty finding. And Flo said you have perfect, super cool wetsuits. They are sustainable. You have a recycling program, so we're gonna go get into all of that. But first, maybe you can tell us it started 1999, or you started it 1999 with your brother. Is that correct?
No, yeah, the date is correct, but not my partner. My partner is Mathieu Barra, and I met him when we were in study and school and sports. We were 17, yes, doing preparation for Olympic Game in Windsor.
Okay, so you're an Olympic windsurfer.
Yeah, I've done some Olympic windsurfer and then PWA, and we create servers.
That's why it says from water people to water people. Are you still windsurfing a lot?
Yeah, I'm still doing some windsurf, but a lot of foil also, soft foil and wing mainly. But still doing some windsurf in the waves when it's strong with good waves. I love it. And I'm doing slalom once a year during Defiwin, this incredible event in Gruissan.
And where are you based?
We are based in La Rochelle. La Rochelle is the middle of Atlantic coast in France. So we are close to Ré Island and Oléron Island. And it's 2 hours from Bordeaux and 1.5 hour from Nantes, just in the middle. And but I'm living in Brittany also because my family is from Brittany, French Brittany, and so I spend a lot of time close to La Torche, Crozon, etc.
Perfect. So you have a good conditions.
Yeah. We have good condition. I try to go in the water as much as I can, and that's really why I create this company. It's to go in the water.
Let's talk about that company, and maybe you can give us a little story, a little origin story. Why do you think that you need, or what do you want to build a company yourself? Was there something missing, and you thought people are going to need that, or you just felt like I want to help that community out? I want to give them what I need. How did that start?
As pro windsurfer at this moment, we with Mathieu, we saw that the main brand came from Australia and US mainly, and so we just had the Oxbow in France, and they were full focus on surfing. And as a windsurfer at this moment, surfing a lot also, but more windsurfer. We wanted to create something more crossover. And I think the idea was not so bad because now we can see that the young people and even older one, we are doing many different sports, not only focus on surf or windsurf or kite. By myself, for example, or many other people, we are doing surfing, foiling, wing, windsurf, kite, etc., etc. So the Soros brand is more open to many sports.
But what is the difference? I used to sail Optimist. We had dry suits, and then when I started sailing 29er, we used wetsuits as well. But I wasn't even aware that there are different sorts of wetsuits. What's the difference from a surfer's wetsuit to a windsurfer's wetsuit?
For surfers' wetsuit, we need very, very stretched part on the wetsuit, mainly on the underarms and on the back to do the takeoff and to paddle. And for windsurf wetsuit, for example, we need to be less stretch on shoulder, and we need a lot of stretch on front arms. We need something more warm because it's more windy. So we need something to cut the wind if we can. And we don't need that much stretch on the back, for example, because we have the harness. That's why even with a back zip, it's not a problem to use back zip. It's more fashion, more trend not to use front zip, but because of the harness for kitesurf or windsurf, you don't really feel the difference between front zip and back zip. So there are a lot of difference, and in Soros we really focus on developing different product, and we also have crossover wetsuit, but we also have a specific wetsuit for the different sports.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that.
And your material, of course, is recycled. And did it start with the recycled material from the get-go? Like your idea at the beginning was to make the recycled wetsuit, or it started as normal wetsuits?
We started doing wetsuit in 2005 or 6, I think, first wetsuit. At the beginning, it was only for the rider of the team because we were a garment brand. And then step by step, we moved from garment brand to a technical product brand. So, and now we are really more focused on technical products than garments. And then we started working on eco product and eco conception in 2012, I think. So we were really in front of this move, and starting before the big move we have now. And so that's why we are very, very proud to be on first step on this move. And yes, from classic neoprene, we saw the limestone neoprene arriving. Limestone, as you perhaps know, comes from a mix between a petroleum based and a limestone from mine. And the idea was, we are working on many, many different things. We are completely open to what's happened and what we can do to reduce our impact. And then in La Rochelle, just eating oyster, I say, oh, this is limestone. Oyster is limestone, full of limestone. So perhaps we could do something, and we try to work on that direction. But before that, we previously work on natural fiber, on recycled fiber, etc., on our wetsuit.
So you tried many different things, as far as I hear. Were there some things that didn't work at all and you had to, like, put away?
Yes. When we are doing R&D, you have to, sometimes you are on the wrong direction, sometimes you are on the right one. So I think oyster was really a good way, because when we create oyster print, we use it alone for 2 years, and then we open it to the big brands, and we are very proud that O'Neill used it in their, I don't remember the name of their line, I think it's, no, sorry, I don't have the name, but O'Neill used it, and then it really makes sense for us, then we open it to all the brands. And last year, for example, 9 brands were using equivalent to oyster print. And then we continue to research, and we move to organic oyster print. So it's no more petroleum based. It's EVA based and oyster powder.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what is wrong with the classic neoprene, like how is it polluting the planet?
It's made from petrol, so we all know the problem with petrol. It's the same than, for me, it's the same thing that when we use a limestone from mine, we are using earth first and not renewable product, so it's really not good for us, for the planet. And so using EVA, as you know, it's come from trees, so it's renewable, and it's FSC certified, so I think it's really better. Even if we always say that we are not completely proud, and it's not finished. The work is not finished. We always have a lot of things to develop, and the work is not finished yet.
That is super interesting, because wetsuits have been around for so long, and you're going that new way. That is very interesting. Was there a problem? Did the other brands first thought like, "Or right, you're trying these things, that is a problem for us," or was that a mutual thing? People or the brands trying to help each other out? As you said, that O'Neill used the same materials as you did.
We developed the first version of organic foam. We developed it with Patagonia. It was Ulex. We were the first brand using Ulex and on the market before Patagonia, even if they don't know, because nobody knows that, because we were a very small brand at this moment. But we were the first brand using Ulex and putting it on the market, and we developed it with Patagonia and with the factory. So it was a mutual work. For Oyster, we developed it by ourselves first in France, and then we proposed it to the factory working together to develop it. And then we find an agreement with the factory and with some other brand to use it, and we open it for free to all the other brands. So, and for organic Oyster print, it's another way. We worked with the factory also, and with some brands. And so I think it's in very close future. Now I hope there will be no more petroleum wetsuit on the market, but it's still a bit more expensive and a bit more difficult to use, to develop it. So there is some difficulties yet, but in very next few years, I think a petroleum-based wetsuit, I hope it will be over.
But it's not a problem of longevity. These new kind of wetsuits, they are not like falling apart after 1-2 years.
No, what we can see now, longevity is really better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, really better, because natural rubber, technicity of natural rubber, natural capacity, natural flex is very, very good. As you know, perhaps you don't know, but in tires, for example, for there is always natural rubber. So we are not able to do tires with only petroleum-based. And the more high end is your tires, and the more
natural rubber
and the more EVA there is in your tires. So that the same thing for the wetsuit. But this fabric is a little bit more expensive for sure, even more for the moment, because we don't use it as much as we could.
For sure. And in terms of feeling, how the wetsuit feels compared to a petroleum-based wetsuit?
Our feeling is exactly the same. At the beginning, with Ulex, the first Ulex, it was not the same, because it was more heavy, it was more warm, it was less stretch, but it was just the beginning. It was in 2015, so you can see that we worked 10 years to have something better now. And the Flex is a little bit different, but it's very, very close. It's not better, or it's not less good, but it's a little bit different. That means you can have the same stretch in total, but it's not exactly the same feeling, but very, very close.
And you see those wetsuits, your wetsuits, all around, at least where I live in Switzerland. I see, when I go pumping or winging, I see people with your wetsuits all the time, and they look really cool. But I can imagine it must have been difficult to find that spot in the whole market for a new brand, because as you said, O'Neill, Quicksilver, there were so many brands already out there. How did you get that space for your brand?
The idea was not to be a challenger for a long time, even more in innovation. So we decided to put innovation and performance and engagement in our DNA. So instead of being follower, we decided to spend a lot of money and time in R&D and innovation, to have our own innovation and to propose our own innovation to the market. So it's not easy. It's a long time work. But now I think we are perhaps not the leader, but very close to be the leader in innovation for the last 5 years in wetsuit.
That is super cool. But that's risky as well. Were you never scared or thought like, ooh, that might not go that well?
Yeah, sure. We have to take care to put on the market only very good final product. And yes, sometimes for Ulex, for example, we put on the market, we were first on the market, but I think we were a little bit too early. And even Patagonia also, because the first Ulex wetsuit was not at the level of the classic neoprene wetsuit. So sometimes we have to take some risk, but sometimes it's very, very important to have the performance. The other way, for us, I think why Soros is very appreciated now from the rider is because the performance of the wetsuit is there, and we consider eco conception and as performance also. So it's very, very important to have very, very good product, even if it's with eco conception or natural rubber or whatever. It's the same for t-shirt, it's the same for sweatshirt, it's the same for wetsuit, it's the same for all. If you want to produce something with eco-conception or sustainability, it's very, very important to keep the best performance.
For sure. And I also believe that there is this this whole wave in the surf industry, in the surf community, to be kind of sustainable. So I believe that it wasn't really a problem to then grow after you are one of the first companies promoting recycled products, right?
Yeah, sure. Recycling is also another idea. It's another way. We have to create, to reduce as much as possible our impact when we create the product. And then, as you know, we also develop a recycling way. So it's another part, and we can speak about that if you want, with pleasure.
Please,
yes,
go ahead.
Please go ahead, yeah.
So, yes, since 2016, we worked on the circle life of the wetsuit, how to offer a second life to the wetsuit. And we spent a lot of time also. And finally, we think that the best way is to shred the wetsuit and to do other product with this. And doing another wetsuit, yes, we can do it, but it's the impact is too big. We need too many steps to do a wetsuit with an old wetsuit. And finally, the carbon impact is not good for the moment. Perhaps we will be able to do that one day, but we don't really see it as a good idea for now. So our goal is to recycle as much as possible wetsuit, and to recycle as much wetsuit as we put on the market. So that's important. We are not at this step yet, but we hope to be there soon. And the best way we found for the moment is to do yoga mat, and mainly also the best thing is to do a sole for a sport area.
For gyms and boxes, or even playground for kids.
Exactly, yeah. For playground. Exactly, that's it. So we are working on it, and we try to reduce as much as possible the impact also when we produce it. And but I can't say all about that because we are still developing it, and we have some patent in. Just now, we don't finish of the pattern.
And are you going to produce the yoga mats and the gym pavement yourself, or you're going to sell the material to other companies that are going to produce and sell the final product?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We are working on it. We already have our own product. We create a mix with cork and neoprene. Name is Neo Liège, because Liège is cork in French. And with it, we can also do some, we do some yoga mat and some isolation, things like that. So it was a first step. Then with the shred neoprene, also we sell the shred, the fabric, the shred neoprene to other companies. So with it, they can put it in box bags. They can put it in poof. I don't know. I can show you.
The bin. Yeah,
things like that, for example. And put it around your swimming pool, and it's full of neoprene or shred neoprene, for example. Okay. With recycled sail, we can do that. We do that with a kite sail or sail from boat, etc. So we have many products already. Some of them we develop by ourselves, and some of them other brands or other companies develop it.
So can people send in their old wetsuits, or should they bring them along when they are in vacation in La Rochelle?
In Europe, we have now 130 or 50 recycling box. That means people can put their wetsuit inside, and then it's generally close to the shops or club or rental area. And then they send it to, when it's full, they send it to La Rochelle. And we have our own workshop in La Rochelle. And we have our own shredding machine. And then we are working with other company to finish the product.
And is there a map maybe on your website where people can find these kind of...
Yes, sure.
Wetsuit bins?
Yeah, sure. You can find it easily on our website. And if some shops want to have our school or whatever, they can ask us and we can send us a box.
All right, so we're going to put it here on screen somewhere. It's going to be difficult because we talked to Sam Cuttens from Onyx Foils a couple of months ago. And he as well is interested in having old wetsuits because he makes foil covers for them. But as long as it gets recycled, it's probably a good thing. Doesn't matter where it goes exactly.
Yeah. Probably mine is so shredded that you cannot make a cover off of it. So I'd better just send it to Sohus and maybe they can do something with it.
The better it still is, you can send it to Sam, or if it's got holes in it everywhere, it's probably best with Sohus.
Yes, and as we have our own workshop and we have our own repair atelier also, we have all the fabric, so we send a lot of fabric to different wetsuit repair shop in France, and we can send them new fabric, the good glue, the good tape, etc. So and also sometimes they need some old wetsuit, and we can send them also.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about this oyster type of neoprene. Are you producing this neoprene in La Rochelle, or you have another producer and then you get the material?
No, unfortunately, we are not able to produce neoprene or kind of neoprene in Europe now. Even if US, even the only place to produce neoprene or kind of neoprene is in Asia now.
Mm-hmm.
So we produce mainly in Cambodia now. And Vietnam also.
We talked to a lot to foil designers and companies who build foils. They have the problem that every year there's a new foil range out and they have old foils they have to sell. And they cannot really send these foils to shops to have them sold, because once the shops have it, it's basically already old. And so the shop or the distribution channel is a big problem. But I imagine for you, the wetsuits, it's so important that it fits perfectly. There's still the way to go in a shop, try it on, and then buy it there. Is that still the way to go for wetsuits?
Yeah, I think the shop, the core distribution is very, very important for the wetsuit market, and we really need them, and we are working very close to them also. Yeah, we really take care, and we try to be always available for our customers and for the core shops. Yeah. Service distribution is really, really focused on core shops. Yeah.
And now that we're speaking about distribution, are you selling in the US and in Australia as well, or the market is mainly Europe?
We have a new company in US now since last year, but with all what's happened now, we are still very, very prudent, and we will see what's happened next few months to take decision. But for sure, it will be in US. It will be the same for all the brands, because all the wetsuits are made in Asia now. So there is two solutions. The first solution, they decide to reduce the custom fees. So it will be okay for the American surfers. If they decide to tax it a lot, unfortunately, all the American surfers will have to pay a very expensive wetsuit. But we are not able to produce wetsuit in US now.
Yep.
You're the CEO of the company. How does a typical day for you at Solvus look like? Is there a typical day? Do you have any things that you actually still work with your hands, or is just organizing people and sign things?
No, we are a small company. We are around 30 people in the company. So we are not 400 or things like that, even if there is not a lot of surfing company with this kind of of level. But so now I'm doing so many different things in one day, you can't imagine. On my side, with my partner, on my side, for example, I'm really focused on the next business and the next. I'm always working on the next 3 years or 5 years coming. That means I'm working on products a lot, developing products. For example, now we are working on winter 26. And I'm working on financial part, and also working on marketing and some big account. And my partner is more working on everyday problem, on be sure that all the invoice are okay, all the customers are happy. The logistic team, is okay. Yes, that's how we work. And I try to go on the water as much as I can, and I can go when I want. So that's a good part. And the desk I'm headquarters is just like 10 minutes from the beach, so I can wing or foiling very, very easily. And if I want to surf or surf foil or whatever, I can go to Re Island. It's less than half an hour, so it's okay.
So you take another wetsuit depending on the sport, I presume.
Yeah, I try a lot and a lot of wetsuit every time. For me, favorite is Guru Pro for sure.
Why?
Guru Pro, because it's super, super flex and light. And I can, with our storm dry inside lining, it's very warm. So I can use a very thin wetsuit with this lining.
That is super interesting, because like 3 years ago when I started winging, 3 years ago when I started winging, I started to go out in winter as well. And I just had this Decathlon cheap wetsuit, which is 2 or 3 millimeters. And then I just went online and got the cheapest thickest wetsuit that I could, which was a Cressy, which I think is a diver's wetsuit. And it's terrible for moving, but yeah, it's what I got. So you say with your wetsuit, I can have a thinner wetsuit and still be warm and move as well.
Yeah.
All right. Then I probably have to get it.
Drying very, very quickly also. And yes, with a long life. And yeah, we try to do the best wetsuit for the best price every time, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my questions was actually, you mentioned that sometimes this kind of bioprints have a different kind of like they keep the temperature better. So would you suggest that, would you say that with like a bioprint wetsuit, you can go a little bit thinner, or the thickness of the wetsuit is the same bioprint and normal neoprene?
In my opinion, it could be a little bit thinner. Yeah.
All right.
And I think it will move step by step, because from many, many years, a 5.4 millimeters is a 5.4 millimeters for winters, for 4.3, we know when we use it. But I think material is so much better. The foam is better. Lining are better. So we can reduce the thickness of the wetsuit. Yes. And then being really more light and stretched. Yes. But it will take time. And in southwest of France, for example, they use the 3.2 Guru until November or December. It's not a problem. Yes.
So I just going to ask Flo which one he suggests I should use, because we go out in basically 0 degrees and 25 knots of wind, which, yeah, you need a good wetsuit for that. You told us before that you are planning ahead like 3-5 years. Is there anything you can tell us what's next?
No. No, for sure, you are still working. From the beginning, it's very important for us to have innovation on all the range. That means we don't keep innovation and the best innovation and ecological eco-conception. It's not only for the high range. It's mainly the case for other brands, but for Sorbus, we develop, for example, when we develop the Ulex, at the same time, we were working on the school and rental range, how to reduce the impact of this wetsuit also. So from last winter, all the range of Sorbus wetsuit are made with organic osteoprene. We are the only brands doing this for the moment. So it will come step by step for sure, and I hope so. But it's very, very important for us to have innovation on all the step of price. So we are still working on it, and that's very, very important for the future, to continue to improve the quality of the middle range, not only the high range and the entry-level range also. And for the other innovation, I can't tell you more now.
that's fine, and we understand that, of course. Flo also said you have to ask him about that. These board shorts, these recycled board shorts, because they're super comfy. And I haven't heard of it. Can you tell us about those?
Yes. To be honest, it's more traditional for sure. We develop very specific material, very light, with recycled fiber. And the goal is to have something as light as possible for surfing and stretch, but not too much, because when we are surfing, we don't like to have the weight of the water and to have board shorts, the feeling of the board short going up and down. So we need to find the good balance. And yes, we are using the same fabric since 3 years now, and we really like this fabric. Yeah, it's perfect. But for sure, one more time, we could reduce the impact also. We try to reduce to have a short circuit to develop all the products. That's why all the cotton garment is made in Portugal now, some in France also, and for the board short, it's still made in Asia, but we are working on, we hope to find solution to have the same quality and to offer a good price made in Europe. Working. Mm-hmm.
So you're not only producing wetsuits, also board shorts, and are you selling other products, like other water-related products?
We have a lot of protective product, like helmets, impact vest. We have large range of impact vests, yeah, for sure. Some of them for wakeboard, we have for wing, we have for wind, we have for IQ foil, we have for many, many different impact vests, yes. We are working on, we have a new dry rope coming. We also have a bags range since last year. So yes, catalog is fat.
Yeah, I was just about going to ask a question the same direction, because when foiling started, there's the safety that came along with it. And you probably had to change the wetsuits accordingly as well. How is a wetsuit different that you use on foil, where you can cut yourself a little more, to a wetsuit you use while windsurfing, for example? Of course, the fin is sharp as well, but you're not that likely to hit it.
Yes, there is a lot of different use of foiling. It depends what kind of foil you are doing. For example, when you are doing downwind foiling, the first hour you are very, very warm because you are paddling a lot and yeah, pumping a lot. But if for a long period, when we are working with Erwan, for example, he has gone from Toulon to Corsica. So it was very, very long. So we work a lot on this, and we are doing some sample for him with different zippers, and he can open when it's too warm and close it. It's weather changing, or if it's losing some adrenaline or some power, so to keep his warmth. Yes, for sure. If you are doing a surf foiling, for example, I'm doing a lot of surf foil. I'm using very, very thin wetsuit because we have. When you are pumping, we are full of super warm. So instead of surfing, when you are surfing in cold water, sometimes you can wait for not half an hour, but quarter, things like that. So it's more freezing depending also the spot. But for wing, it's not very warm. Doing wing, it's same thing than doing windsurf or things like that. It's not, yeah. So.
But like cutting yourself on the foil, you have like a protective kind of outer shell or something?
We work on that in the beginning, but finally, I think it's not a good idea because you can have some impact when you start. And then after that, yes, you can, for sure, you can have an impact. It's possible. But I really don't like to have something too heavy with a lot of protective pads, etc. If you want to add one, you can go to all the sports shops to buy protective from football or whatever. I don't know which sports, and you can put it under or outside of your wetsuit just to try something. But to have a specific wetsuit with a lot of protective part, I don't like this idea. And for example, we work on it and we came back to something super light, super stretch. And if you want, you can add some protective part.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I have another question, and maybe we can wrap it unless you have something else to share with us. I'm curious about how did you come up with the logo? Because, of course, the three arrows are like to symbolize the recycling. But what's the logo itself? What's the symbol?
It's an eye.
Right.
It's Soros. And tagline is Rider's Vision, and it's an eye. Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners or viewers?
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was super, super cool to spend time with you to discuss.
Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. The next episode is going to be with Annie Reichert. She's a water woman from Hawaii, and she designs these super nice surfboards. And is on the water a lot. So we're going to learn about her and looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Jan, for coming on the show, and hope to see you on the water sometime.
Thanks a lot, Gail and Matt. Bye-bye. See you soon. And if you are there, you are welcome.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.